You're listening to Traveling Down the Delta Blues Highway. I'm Erin Scott, otherwise known as Audio Chick. This podcast is about the blues history, music, people, and of course, traveling the Delta from Tunica to Vicksburg. You can find me where you listen to your podcasts at audiochick.net. That's chick without the K. Now, this is a treasure of audio / oral history I found from May 7th, 2015. I think I was speaking with Bill McPherson at the museum about the impact and economics that helped give the town of Indianola, where I saw B.B. King play his last homecoming when this woman walked in, who knew that my own life would completely change 6 months later, and I'd be living the blues. It's exciting that I found this audio and the story of Delcy Davis, wife of Cousin to Riley, better known as B.B. to fans. You'll hear her referred to as a living museum, and her story is amazing. She was highly educated, and her children went to university. Quoting the Samuel Proctor Oral History Program, she says, "I grew up in a rural community, what we call out in the country, no electricity at all, only fuel rod lamps. That was our life. We enjoyed the country. We made crops, picked cotton, and bigger crops. I grew up as a child. I went to school, to a one-room school, in a one-room schoolhouse. I had to walk 3 miles there, 3 miles back." Now, listen to her story and her voice and the day I was at the museum in 2015.
Hey, Miss Davis.
Fine, how are you?
Come on in the room.
Yes, sir.
We're doing an interview right now, a little different than the one I wanted. This is Delcy Davis, Erin Scott.
Yes. Nice to meet you.
Miss Davis was married to Burkett Davis, who's now deceased, who was B.B. King's first cousin.
Right. Okay.
And they shared a house together many, many, many years ago.
Sure did.
Longer than we want to think, huh?
Yes, sir.
And so she's just... She's a living museum is what she is.
Yes,
so we have a reporter here from Public Radio Memphis who wants to do an interview with you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's walking through the exhibit right now. So if you're okay with it, we're just talking about the economy and blues and how blues can help people or whatever. And
okay.
And let me just ask you this. I mean, this didn't exist 8 years ago. And do you think building this has been good for Indianola and good for this region?
Oh, yes. It's nice. We come in every year and have dinner with him. Every year, ever since he started. A long time ago, we used to be at the home house on Hannah Street. But she passed on.
Mm-hmm.
So after then, he started hotels. Number 8 Hotel down 82. We ate there for quite a while. Then we left there. And they came here at this would be a we come in here and eat, have dinner with him every day, every time he come. And he was so close to us. He just like a brother to my husband. We lived in the house together for 2 years. Burkett Davis and I got married 1943 in January. And him and Miss Martha King was up in this, got married that November 1943. And we stayed with his parents a year. And so Mr. Johnson Badd decided he was gonna take us out with the parents. Moved him up on the front, left us back down the field. So we stayed together for 2 years, made a crop. His crop on this side is Turn Road, and on that side of Turn Road. We come up to the Turn Road, we'd meet up and talk with one another and pick apple cotton.
Hmm.
We did that. So after that, as them years, he moved us in all in separate homes up on the upper place. And I had only 2 children. He didn't have any children. So he finally before we went there, we lived together. He played that guitar day in and day out. Somebody heard me tell him, his real name is Riley King. I said, Riley, the babies can't sleep. You keep up all that fuss. I'll be through in a little bit. I'll be through in a little bit. That's what he would say. So finally, he would cool down, and we all would, you know, go on to sleep. So we had such a good time together, and they was quartet singers. St. John Gospel singers. They would sing together. And they would go and have the rehearsal. And we would go to the rehearsal sometime with them. Sometimes they wouldn't take us, you know. But we had good time together all the time. He was just so nice. B would just give you anything he thought you needed that you wanted. And he didn't ever. And after that, he would come back and visit us. And we, the only one, had children. And he would, at Easter time, he'd give out her money to buy clothes for them. He said they'd be dressed up for Easter Day. And then when he'd come back the next time, he would come back, and his uncle passed first. Then his aunt passed. And then he was later just us because them closest one was gone. So Brackett was the next closest relative there. And his wife and I cooked together on the stove. We had a cow. They gave him a cow. You know, in the 43 you had cows. And B would go get the cow in the morning and milk. And in the evening, my husband would stake the cow out. They couldn't go loose, had to stake. So we done all that kind of stuff then. But after then, he decided, when we moved up on the upper place, he decided, I guess I'm going to leave. And we didn't know where he was going at that time. We know he left us and went over in Arkansas. And he left Arkansas and went to Memphis, Tennessee. And working in WDIA studio. And he was advertising long grain baguettes for Fillmore cigarettes. And so my husband was working for Mr. as a man he stayed in town. We were working out on the farm. We moved on another farm after then, down on Baby Plantation. And we was down there. And then we decided we would move to town. And when we moved to town, that's when my husband went to California and drove the cotton picker for 3 months. I had 4 children then. So he stayed and came back, and he gave us a trip to Memphis. We went to his home, and he kept us to radio stations and see what he was doing, all that. And just kept getting better and better and better, and finally got famous and fame. And he never forgot me. The last time he was here, he didn't, after my husband passed, he didn't ever come without giving me some money. He did just that. And would call me, talk with me. So one year he decided, he told my husband, boy, I got you about many children you got now. We have 15. I have 15 children, 10 girls and 5 boys. And so he said, I got 14. The man and them your children. They said they mine. But anyway, he taken us out to Killmichael, Mississippi on the bus and shoot all his children where he came from. So they came from Killmichael. Well, in other words, his parents come from Houston, Mississippi. And they moved to Killmichael. And 1941, they came to the Delta. And I came down here to visit my sister. And when I come to visit my sister, she said, boy, come over here, my sister come. We got a new lady on the block. And we went over to my sister's house, and they came, and 3 both young men came to see me. And they were singing the quartet. He was saying quartet then. He really wasn't singing in what he was doing. He was saying quartet. So we was there. And anyway, my husband, at that time, at least it wasn't my husband then, but I sit down, and he sit down beside of me, my husband did. And then he asked my sister, could he take me to the preacher shop? To the preacher show. He said, yes, right around there on the corner. I kind of went around with him, had a good time meeting. But I was so young. I was only 15 years old. And he asked, can I carry your sister to the preacher show? She said, no, I don't know. Mama might not want her to go to no preacher show. He said, I'd be nice too. So my husband took me to the preacher show. And then I had to go back in the hills to Cardio, Mississippi, to my mother. I went back home. And he kept writing me, writing. And we, you know, we had no telephone back in that time. I knew you had to write whatever you're gonna write. So I was gonna go back to school. And he came to my house, my husband did, and asked my mother for me. She said, oh no, she got to go to school. He said, I have to go to school or something, he told me. I don't know what he told me, anyway. My mother, she is busting cat on so bad, till my sister said, Mama, let her go, I'll take care of her. And I came back to Indianola after on the plantation, Woodbourne, Mississippi. And we got married one Monday. Wasn't that crazy? We got married. And after then, that's when we lived with his parents then. But anyway, down through the years, we lived together. When he passed, Burke and I stayed together 62 years. When he passed, 2003. And he started preaching. My husband was a pastor. But B.B. King and my husband just like brothers. Real good to us. And when I got the news that he's ill, I called Los Bears yesterday. They wouldn't let me talk to anyone. The young man gets the phone. I said, can I talk to B? Says he wouldn't know what you're saying. I said, he always told me, my name is Delcy, but he called me Celia. That was my nickname, Celia. Call me, girl. I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to get loose from everybody. I said, I'm going to call you. So I couldn't talk to him. I asked the girl what work there. And he said, she's not talking. She's not talking. I said, well, how can I get... Well, I can't tell you, but he's doing very good. He just wouldn't know what you're saying. So I've been this... You know how this worry you can't talk, you don't know what's going on. But one thing about it, he was nice to our family. He really was. He had no problem. We come out there in that room back over there and sit and eat. And I said, it's time to go and feel. I ain't going now. I go when I get ready. That's what he would tell me. I said, he says, it's hot out there, it's so hot. He was talking nice. He like wasn't anything wrong with him at that time. He had a good mind, everything. So he told the girl what was with him. She write Celia a check. And she says, what? He said, write. He said, Celia, I don't have money to give your boys like I used to give them. He said, I'm just about broke. I said, you are. Man, you know you ain't broke. That's what I. You don't know. You don't know the story. I said, no, I don't. So he told the girl to write me a check, and she did. And I just remember, I believe that it was $1,000. I think this, because when he used to give me money, he'd always give me $1,500, $1,600. Say, I know you here and you're scum with these children.
It's okay.
And so.
Well, let me ask you something now about the museum. Do you think this museum has been a benefit to Indianola, Mississippi?
Yes, sir, I believe it. Children come here and have a good time, and we come up and sit, And I was working with the Senior Sense of Companionship. And they gave us a day over here, and we came in, sit around and talk, and went in. I don't remember paying anything. We just went in and viewed the museum all over again. And then every time he would come, he'd bring the young children up, and it was just good. Everybody's loving. And I have a daughter that lives in Memphis. She teaches school. She brought a busload here. Many, many busloads been here. With that, you know how to bring children come in? And it's been a good benefit to this town. And I take it, I hope it can stay. Because you can, if you want to get married, you can use the room in there. You want to have a party, you can get them to have a party in there. Whatever thing you want to do, you can get to do it. And they're so nice to you. We just view all around, look, buy stuff out the little consent stand over there. Can't hardly get a park. There's so many people here. And they always come, I think, around sometime in May. Twice he came, I missed him because I was going to a church meeting. I went to California to a church meeting. And he was asking, where's Celia? Where's Celia? I said, boy, she gone to church. She knew I was coming. And I said, they were saying the same time and I had to go. And so I left, and another time he came, I was wanting to be here, but my children were there. And my three boys always went to his night spot, whatever he had. I didn't go to the night spot because the physician I had, church physician I had, my husband pastor, they figured it wasn't appropriate for me to go. But I visit him going to talk with him and have a good time with him. He said, all right, go back, because if break was living, you sure wouldn't go either. I said, no. But we just had a good time. It's real good. I had no fault. I'm in there talking.
Educational, when you say it's very educational.
Sir.
It teaches the young people. It's very educational.
Right.
It teaches the young people about their history and the history of the Delta.
Right. It showed them what we went through with. Young people don't know nothing about that. See, I had a birthday in March. I was 87 years old in March. B is 89 in September. And Brackett, my husband, was 90 in September. They both on birthday was in September. His one was a 16 or 70, somewhere like that. My husband is the first day of September. My husband 4 years older than I am. And so they said, y'all used to pick cotton? I said, sure. That's where we made our living, picking cotton. When I married, I couldn't pick 50. I'm 15 years old, I couldn't pick none. But when we had that farm, he could carry 4 rows of cotton. My husband carried 4 rows, count his 2 rows. And you get 2. I said, I can't pick no 2. He said, get 2 rows. He picked all the rows. But they need to know the history of this day and time. It's a lot different. God is good. He blessed us. And now we have a good time. And I don't know how many views I had out of about 3 or 4 men from New York interviewed me. And way out in the rural where we came from, where we moved from, I went out there. So it got so cold that we couldn't stay out there. And he brought me back. And I asked my pastor, could we have a review at my church? And I went and had a review of him. Then I went out to this building right across the street over there. I went there about 3 times. And they interviewed me. So they want to know a lot about him. Because they were young too. We all were just children, like, you know, at that time we didn't have schools. We had to have school in the church. And when him and I got married, we decided we'd go up there to the school, play ball, and we called ourselves married. We was married. Go up there and say, it's a history. And somebody asked me, says, how in the world do you know all of that at your age? I said, I got my real good mind. I said, I don't forget nothing hardly. I had 15 children, 10 girls and 5 boys. Do you know? I started working Head Start. I worked Head Start 28 years and retired. And when I retired from that, my husband got sick. I worked at Senior Citizen Companionship 2 years and he got sick and I stopped to take care of him. And when he passed on, 2003, I went back to that. I worked 38 years. 38 years. And boned all of those children. And I sent every one of them went to college. I sent every one of them to college. And I had a daughter in Detroit, taught school for so many years. And then my older daughter taught school at Carl Elementary School for 20 years. And now they finna give me a trip to Las Vegas, Minnesota. I got a son there. He got a scholarship of $39,000 at Harvard University. Worked in the White House on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. Carried me there. I reviewed all that. I sat down in the president chair. I sat on the Republican and Democrat. I said, can I sit in one of these beautiful chairs? And that man, he was a young man. He said, yeah, Dwayne Davis' mama, we got to let you sit in the chairs to see how it feel. Now, what do you want to sit in? I said, well, I sit in Democrat, I guess. Why you want to sit in Democrat? I said, it don't matter, either one. And I sit in both of them. So he worked there, and he decided he would go back to school. Got his master's degree in education. Then he left that and went back and got his doctorate degree in ministry. He passed his church where he is now. And I'm going to see him on the 24th. We gonna drive to see him. So he was the baby boy. He the baby. Yeah. But he was about the smartest somebody you ever want to know. He boned the first day of April, and the children said, Mama, you're going to have April food. I said, no, he's not. And he's smarter than anybody in the crew, in the family.
So is everyone in ministry or education?
My older son got real sick the 12th of December. And he liked to pass on, but the Lord bless, he's doing good. He's supposed to be in dialysis in the morning and went and takes the medicine. Then I had another one played football down Alcorn. He got hurt on his shoulder. He couldn't play football anymore. So he carried his that thing waking out. I said, you're not playing ball anymore. And why you keep on doing that? So he had a sick spell he got to meet the heart doctor today. He said he pulled a muscle in his heart, but he waking with him. And I had another son waked it. Kelvin. He waked the Kelvin as a nurse. He waked there, got his license for that. They all had their education through me and my husband. And I was only making $130 every 2 weeks. But I paid that money. Then one or two of them got a little grant. You know how they was. But we sent them to school. They got the education. And so now they told me my 10 daughters retired me March 31st. Go home. We're going to take care of you.
It's a great story.
And it was a great story. It's been hard to hear since a lot of my memories from that trip have been lost. But I'm lucky a hard drive backs up. what your brain loses. Thank you for traveling down the Delta Blues Highway. I'm Erin Scott, Audio Chick Without the K. Thanks to Ray Lundy for our weekly music. Come on back and listen to the next gem.